Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. You know, it's fascinating to watch a competent shepherd interact with his sheep. There's this video on the internet that I thought was kind of impressive. At the beginning of the video, all you see is this single man who's standing in this giant pasture. And in the background, it's this foggy haze. It's sort of cloudy in the background. And the man proceeds to place his hands up to his lips, and he calls out in this foreign language into the haze, into the fog. And at first, nothing happens. So he does it again, and again, and again. And eventually, you begin to see these little black and white spots emerge out of the fog. And that's when you realize that this man is a shepherd, that these are his sheep. And in no time, the shepherd is surrounded by his sheep who are running to him because of what he has brought them. Lunch. But all he had to do was stand there and to call out to them, and they came running because they knew his voice and they knew what he had to give them. You know, it's often said that sheep are quite stupid, and I suppose they are in a lot of ways. They are liable to wander off into folly, but there are things that sheep know, things that are, frankly, matters of life and death. I mean, sheep know the voice of their shepherd, and they know the voice of a stranger, and they know what to do with each one of those voices. Flee the stranger's voice and flock to the shepherd's. And I don't care how foolish you are, that's some pretty good information to have. Because after all, Jesus says the stranger comes to steal, to slaughter, to destroy. But the shepherd, he comes to give life. The voice of the stranger, he speaks lies and deception, while the voice of the shepherd speaks truth and life. So it's kind of important to know which voice is which. Fleeing the stranger and flocking to the shepherd. That's the life of sheep like us under the loving care of our good shepherd, Jesus. And so we flock to him because of what he has to give us. He calls out again and again and again into the foggy haze of this sinful and broken world of which we are a part, and through his voice, he beckons us unto himself. He gathers us here in this place, and he doles out his good and precious gifts. We gather to hear his word read and proclaimed, which tells us ultimately about the shepherd who becomes the slaughtered lamb to take away the sin of the world. Here, the bride of Christ bears new children in the waters of baptism. Here, the crucified and risen Lord locates himself in, with, and under bread and wine to be truly present among us, body and blood, to give us life. I mean, life lived as sheep under the shepherd's care in this place is invaluable. Because it's here that we learn to recognize the shepherd's voice, right? We become familiar with it. We gather to hear it over and over and over again so that we can recognize it in an instant. And don't misunderstand me. It's not some inner voice. It's not some inner gut feeling. It's not our conscience, which is so often misinformed. It's not a mountaintop experience through which we hear the voice of God. But it is through the Good Shepherd's voice in his written and revealed word. That's what happens here. And we ought not forsake meeting together. However, Did you ever stop to think that our time together here comprises maybe 1% of our week? 1 hour, maybe two if you come to Sunday school, out of 168. Which means that the vast majority of our time throughout the week is probably spent listening not to the shepherd's voice, but to the stranger's. And the question is, do we know it? And in a culture that's becoming more and more antagonistic to the Christian message, and even in a church culture that is capitulating more and more to the fads and trends of the day, the voice of our good shepherd is easily lost in the fray among the cacophony of other voices vying for our attention. And it can feel like we are in a foggy haze of murmuring strangers. I mean, go out into the culture, turn on the news, open the newspaper, read the magazines on the rack, turn on a sitcom in the evening, talk to your neighbors over morning coffee or on your daily walk. You will hear the voice of the stranger all over the place. And that's the easy part. I mean, hearing the voice of the stranger, that's not difficult. The difficult part is being able to recognize it as such, even when it masquerades as a true shepherd. That's actually what Jesus is speaking against in our text from John 10. Remember, he says, "All who came before me were thieves and robbers." Well, who's he talking about? Well, keep in mind that Christ's teaching here about being the good shepherd is located in the broader context of a discussion against those who are actually pretty bad shepherds, the Pharisees, scribes, the teachers of the law, who come from a long line of men who are not qualified to shepherd God's people. You know, I think we often think of the Pharisees with a bit of misunderstanding. Often we think of them as sort of the villains, right? They're all dressed in black with a cape and a top hat, and they're wringing their hands as they twist their maniacal mustaches. As if a Pharisee would walk down the street, people would like run away and boo and hiss or something. But that wasn't the case. The Pharisees were highly respected by the people. They were probably very likable guys. They weren't the ones, I mean, they were the ones who were walking the walk and talking the talk. At least they thought so. And they held out the promise that anyone could do this if only they would follow the rules. See, the problem with the Pharisees wasn't that they ramped up the law. The problem was that they introduced new teachings that made the law manageable. I mean, it would take some work, to be sure, but you could keep it as long as you tried. I mean, that's why Jesus is the only person in all of Scripture to actually call the Pharisees hypocrites. He's the only one who could see it. It's also why Jesus says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Because as stringent as their rules were, Jesus even called for a higher standard than that. An unkeepable standard, in fact. And so in our text, Jesus is teaching against these strangers, these false shepherds who would say things that sound true but would lead the sheep astray and destroy them. So right before our text, remember John 9, Jesus heals the man born blind. And this causes somewhat of a stir in the synagogue, and it puts these religious leaders in a conundrum because it forces them to either confess that this Jesus is at least a prophet from God, and therefore his words mean something, or else they have to get rid of him. Silence him. Which is what false teaching must always do with the nagging truth. So they find a way to steal him, to slaughter him, to destroy him. The shepherd becomes the lamb who was innocently led to the cross. See, that's what happens the more you listen to the voice of the stranger without being able to recognize it as a stranger. See, you begin to believe that it's true. And then, at best, the voice of the Good Shepherd will be just one more option among many, and at worst, it will become the nagging voice that must be silenced. Sadly, this is happening more and more. Blatantly outside of the church, and actually very subtly within it. Discernment is waning, and we find ourselves in a haze of some very strange voices. And so the tempting thing to do would be to become ostriches instead of sheep. Put our heads in the sand and think, well, at least we in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have good pure doctrine. We have good under-shepherds, pastors who know their stuff. We have smart and discerning people in the pews. Certainly we know the voice of the Good Shepherd. Well, in 2006, a survey called Faith Matters was conducted by Harvard University, and their findings, frankly, come a little too close to home, because they discovered that 86% of specifically Lutheran Church Missouri Synod members believe that a good person of another faith can still indeed go to heaven. Now, even if that number was 1%, it would be too high. I mean, that's to say that 86% of our own membership believes that if a person rejects Jesus as Lord and still is a good person, they will be saved, contrary to the scriptures and contrary to our own confessions. I mean, whose voice are we hearing? Doesn't the Good Shepherd say that no one comes to the Father except by me? Doesn't the Good Shepherd say that he is the way and the truth and the life, not just one option among many? But if the data is true, even if it's exaggerated, it would seem that we have listened to the voice of the stranger and are unable to call it that. And I suppose on one level, we shouldn't be surprised. After all, we spend 99% of our time in a culture being inundated and bombarded with secular humanism and moral relativism. Mankind is the measure of all that is good. Morality is decided by a vote. What's good for you is good for you, may not be good for me, and that's just fine. When it comes to spiritual matters, well, we're all headed to the same place. We just take different paths to get there. And it all sounds good and progressive and noble and right, but there's just one problem. That's not the voice of the shepherd. It is the voice of a stranger. And that should wake us up. Because remember, the stranger comes not just to present new and interesting ideas. The stranger comes to steal you, to slaughter you, to destroy you as Christ's sheep. I mean, it is the voice of a stranger, isn't it? Who lies to 3,000 women every day, who are alone and afraid, pregnant, tells them that their unborn baby is not a fully human gift from God, just a burden, an inconvenience, a mistake, a choice. And the stranger is more than diabolically happy to help those women make that choice. But that's not the voice of the shepherd. The shepherd who says, these children are made in my image. Let the little children come to me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's the voice of a stranger, isn't it, who lies to those who would hold so-called traditional views on marriage and family and all the values that come with that. Well, at best, those people are just prudes. At worst, the moral equivalent of a racist. That's not the voice of the shepherd, and we need to be able to call it that. The voice of the shepherd says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, and that is a beautiful picture of Christ and his bride. And all the political and social stuff aside, it's the voice of a stranger, isn't it, who would tell you day after day that Jesus isn't enough? that faith in Christ alone is not enough for your salvation, that you have to exercise your will to make salvation yours, you have to be good enough to keep it. But that's not the voice of the shepherd who says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." The shepherd who takes your sin so seriously and knows your inability to do anything about it that he takes it upon himself to grant you serious forgiveness and true abundant life. You see, that's what it's all about. That really is what hearing the voice of the good shepherd is all about. It's not about being right. It's not about taking the moral high ground. It's about sinful sheep like us being called out of the foggy haze of our sin to receive something that we don't have on our own, true life. It's about knowing that there is a better way, a better life given by Christ himself, better than the one fed to us by a broken and sinful world. And it is a life better than the one we would choose for ourselves. You see, we flee the voice of the stranger, not in fear, like ostriches, but in faith toward our good shepherd, knowing that what Christ gives is truly better, if for no other reason than that he is the one who gives it. And so we flock to our Lord to receive life that is truly life. We flock to the good shepherd who himself became the sacrificial lamb who is crucified and risen to take away your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world. You see, that is true and abundant life, and it is yours. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.